I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome to the show. This is the Backbreaker Media Network. I am Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. The Canadian Goose, and I want to thank everybody for listening. You might be listening for the first time because on this week's show, we've got pretty much the most well-known guest we've ever had on Monday Night Shaw. In that spirit, in the spirit of my guest, I just wanted to take a second to express a little gratitude, especially to Mike the Ref, who is the proprietor of the Backbreaker Media Network. He does all the editing for this show, and without him, this wouldn't be possible. I also want to thank Spencer, who gave me some advice about this. So thanks to those guys, and getting right into it, I want to introduce today's guest, well-respected trainer, Ring of Honor competitor. It is none other than Brutal Bob Evans. Brutal Bob, how are you doing, brother?
I'm great, Kyle, and God bless Mike the Ref and Spencer, who offer you, technological support and offer you spiritual support, and so God bless those guys, and God bless you. And how you doing? How's everything up in Bret Hart's old territory?
It's very cold here right now.
How cold is it right now, my man?
Let me just check. The phone says that it is currently, hold on, we're minus 18.
And that's minus 18 Fahrenheit, Celsius?
Whichever the one we use in Canada is.
That would be Celsius.
Fair enough.
So, it's very cold. We know that much, right?
It's very, very cold, yeah. And it's a bummer right now, too, because all our wrestling is shut down because of the pandemic and whatnot. We're hopeful that it should be starting up again soon in a couple of weeks. I think we were lucky over here in Alberta because for most of the year, we actually were able to stay active. And, where I wrestle, Real Canadian Wrestling, we pretty much put on shows, two shows a week all year, except for,
I think
in March and June, maybe a little bit into July, it was all canceled because of the full lockdown. And then after that, we went all the way up until the end of November. And then that's when second lockdown sort of started up. And here we are still waiting for that to end. So that was cool. We've been real fortunate. How about you? Have you had the opportunity to wrestle at all this year?
Well, no, it's been in Massachusetts here on the east coast of the United States. It's been real, real tight. And we're only about 300 miles from the Canadian border, not even, maybe 250. And we've been, our Canadian brothers and sisters up here in Ontario and Quebec have been hammered. Like they're shut down big time. And all my promoter friends that I talked to in that area, they're saying they might not be able to open up till at least the summer, if not the fall. So they're real bummed out. But I've become much more in tune with the Canadian scene. Haven't been out your way. Hopefully that'll change soon. But didn't wrestle much in 2020, that's for sure. We kind of shut everything down in March and didn't really come back. I know some people are doing some studio stuff and that kind of thing, but I haven't really seen much in New England as far. I think Maine is running, which is real up, way up north. They're still doing some stuff, but I haven't really seen much else. I know Mass is locked down. Rhode Island right next to us, they were doing a couple of things. But then I think they got shut down as well. So it's, and it's not even a question of running shows. If you want to run a show with five people watching, you can do that.
Yeah.
But if you want to run a show with people to see you, that's the issue.
Yeah, so, and I mean, that's totally was the same thing here. Like, we at one point, like all our shows we did while we were running them, we had a cap at 100 fans, right? And then that ended up getting reduced down to 50 fans. And then at that point, you know, the promoter had to make it aware, okay, guys, like, just the pay is going to be based off the gate type thing, right? So, like, we had to, you know, there was a little bit like, you know, we weren't going to be able to bring in any big names or anything, but we were still able to wrestle in front of 50 people, which was nice. But I, yeah.
And the biggest thing was you were able to stay busy. I've wrestled in plenty of shows with no people on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the pandemic. So at least you got a chance to work and do your thing and stay busy. You know, I know my friends down south have been pretty busy. I know my buddy Jack Parker Jr. in Arkansas, he wrestled, I think, almost 50 matches last year, maybe more.
Oh, wow.
So he stayed busy. And I had a few people that were in the 30 to 40 range. I know when Tim and I go out there, my partner Tim Hughes, we've hit 60 or 70 during our last couple of years. We were in the late, I think, high 60s, low 70s. But, yeah, we didn't get many in. And we were going to kind of revamp the process anyway. I was getting a little burned out. And I picked up a courier business where I deliver meds to nursing homes. And that's been really good for it's been good for me spiritually, and good for me. It's actually the greatest job to pick up during this, because there's tons of work and it never goes away. The only thing is you're kind of on the, I'm not going to lie and say I'm on the front lines, but I'm definitely on the second line, so to speak. So,
yeah. I mean, if people are sick and they have COVID and they need medicine and they call you, you have to go and give it to them. Yeah.
Right. And then we deal with a lot of nurses and all that, but most of the time we're not even allowed in the building. We're just pretty much, they're answering us at the door and they're signing the paperwork and we're basically thrown it at them and leaving. So but it's been pretty good. You know, the smart doctors were telling us that we were going to have to live next to this disease for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I'm an eternal optimist. So I was like, oh, we can knock that out faster. And the problem isn't even – the problem is it's very – the United States is a funny thing, because people don't realize that we're kind of like 50 little countries inside of one country, because the states have so much power. So the federal government can put some mandates down, but then the states can just go, yeah, man, F you, we're going to do our own thing. So, and I don't know which way is better, because I'm fairly in the middle. I'm not really a right-wing guy or a left-wing guy, so...
Yeah, I try to stay out of politics,
exactly,
man.
Exactly, exactly. Like, yeah, please. Run and hide, right?
Yeah.
No, I have my personal beliefs, but it doesn't matter. I'm not running the country, so it doesn't matter what I believe.
Yeah,
so,
that's...
And that's the thing, so...
Yeah, and that's kind of like the philosophy I adopt too. Like, I mean, especially like if I'm going to be, you know, making any kind of public, like we're doing the podcast here, this is a public outlet, you know, my Facebook and stuff. Like, I don't need to go into my political beliefs in there, because it's just going to alienate some people or start flame wars, or, you know, it's just a bad time.
I do know what you mean. And it's really one of those things where you know, in our country, it's pretty much 50-50. So it's a struggle with no matter what side you're on. And plus, it's such a personal thing. My whole thing is I just believe in taking personal responsibility, taking care of your family, trying to do your best to earn your own money. And if you need some help, hopefully someone's there to give you some help. But really, you got to try to do it yourself first. So that's kind of where I am on the spectrum. It's been interesting, man. That's one of the reasons why I opened this WrestleLife site, because it's been a good way to reach out to people and start a community and kind of get people back on the path of, you know, living a good life and having wrestling work for you instead of you work for wrestling, and really kind of making it more productive. You know,
yeah,
be more productive with our time. So.
100%. So I wanted to ask you about that. But before we get to your the WrestleLife, Bob, why don't you just give our listeners, anyone that maybe is a little less familiar with who you are, just a little bit of rundown on your history and whatnot.
Well, sure. I started in about 1992. Next month will be 29 years for me, and started as a backyard wrestler, and then was actually kind of discovered by some semi-pro guys in New Bedford, Massachusetts. They weren't really called independent wrestlers back then. They were just kind of, and the guy was very honest with me. His name is Brian Brieger, who now lives in Reno, Nevada. Actually, Brian trained Reno Scum, who's an Impact.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, so Brian has so when I met Reno Scum, we kind of had that, you know, the fun conversation of being part of the Brian Brieger coaching tree. So, Brian Breger was also the gentleman who got his boots burned in the middle of the ring by Papa Shango. You've probably seen that. It's a pretty famous clip. So that's my original trainer right there, folks. So so I started training with Brian and a few other guys, and we kind of got – they trained me as best they could, you know, just some basic fundamentals. But, again, they were only a little bit ahead of me as far as skill level, just because they were brand new guys. And then we moved on to a gentleman named Bruiser Costa, and Jeff Bruiser Costa, who had moved back to New Hampshire. But Jeff had actually wrestled in Vancouver and the Maritimes a little bit. He was a Kowalski guy, Kill Kowalski student, one of his original ones. And then he moved on to wrestle in Canada and met his wife and then moved back to the States to raise his family. And then he opened up a shop in Nashville, New Hampshire, and then started running shows. Jeff was really the guy that taught me about psychology and working the crowd, trying to put a match together that people would like. And, you know, he was a big, heavy, like super heavyweight guy, so it really wasn't about high spots. It was much more about, you know, this is what you do to pull a crowd. This is what you do to bring the crowd up and down, things like that. So it was really good. It was, he was a real big help to me. And then one of the guys that I had helped break into business, Steve Bradley, went to developmental. And then Steve came back and taught us a whole bunch of the developmental drills and what WWF was looking for and all that. And then I just started kind of becoming a little bit bigger force in the New England independent scene. And then started working TV, WWF TV during the Attitude Era, and opened my own school and had a lot going on in the late 1990s, early 2000s. And then my school closed in 2009, and I had burned a lot of bridges, and I didn't know what to do. So I said, well, what I have right now is my 17 years in wrestling, and I'm able to get good young guys or girls through a match, and that's what I'm going to do. So I started at the very bottom of the New England Indies, the same people I had been making fun of. Mm-hmm. And they were the only ones to take me in. And I just started being of service to these small New England independents and started working my way back up the scene again. And then a few of my friends, Kevin Kelly and Jim Cornette, had a bigger part in Ring of Honor. And they said, well, we're going to do this trial camp. And I said, well, I'm going to go myself and I'm going to bring a bunch of guys. And then I went and I impressed them, but they just didn't think I was going to be a good fit for wrestling. So they had me manage one of my actual students, Mike Bennett. So I managed Mike Bennett for a while, but then eventually I asked for some matches and I got some and I did okay. And then it turned into later on tagging with Cheeseburger and then tagging with Tim Hughes, who I still tag with, and Tough Guy Inc. And I started coaching at the same tryout camp I started out for. And kind of built my coaching thing there. And that's where the seminar stuff came. There were guys coming in from all over the country and they're like, hey, would you like to do a seminar in our area? And I was like, oh, I've never thought of doing that. So basically at 41, 42 years old, I started hitting the road for the first time all over the country, regular. So that was about 5-6 years ago. And really it's, you know, kind of what I teach now. And I didn't learn it at 22. I learned it at 42. So I just try to teach people the way I learned in the ring, but I also teach a lot of the outer ring stuff because the outer ring stuff is exciting to me because it's a lot of the ways you can make money in independent wrestling now, so, and make a name for yourself. So that's kind of where we went. And then the Hangs with Bob stuff, you know, I'm sure you know about it, Kyle, but the Hangs with Bob gets better is kind of my mantra and kind of my gimmick deal. Well, that came out of going to a bunch of seminars and hearing about a bunch of seminars where it was guys who kind of, the guys teaching the class were either telling war stories that we had all heard before or griping about how the young guys don't get it and not giving them any, not teaching them anything, just yelling about how they didn't get it. I saw a lot of insecurity from some veterans. Now, there's a lot of great teachers out there too, don't get me wrong, but I was seeing a lot of people that weren't, you know, when you give somebody a seminar, they're your customer for a day.
Yeah.
So you should be treating them like one. And I feel like that, and maybe you as a wrestler have gone through this, but, you know, sometimes I went to a seminar and I got my mind blown. I was like, this is awesome. And it wasn't even about being in the ring. Sometimes, like, I went to a Terry Taylor seminar where I just watched.
Yeah.
And, you know, Terry was one of the guys that turned my life around. So, and then I've been to others where I've wrestled the whole time and I just was like, this is useless. I don't need to learn this. And it wasn't, I wasn't being obstinate or stubborn.
Yeah.
It just was stuff that we already knew, and I felt like they were kind of just wasting time. To waste the 3 hours and then make your money. And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure you... How long have you been wrestling, Kyle? I'm sorry. I don't know that much about your career.
Oh, no, that's okay. I debuted, like, my first match was October 2018. And then
a couple years.
Yeah, and then, like, most of, like, 2019, because, like, I was in a situation where I was sort of trained by one of the local fellas, and then he ended up moving away. So I was only really had enough skills to sort of put guys over for a long time, like, just real, real, like, small sort of out-of-town shows.
That sounds like how I started.
Yeah, and then I went and I got further training with Tex Gaines and Michael Richard Blaze, and then about September, I think, 2019 in September, that's when I stopped, because I was known as the ring announcer in Alberta for a long time. I was like one of the ring announcers, so I was continuing to do that while I was wrestling on those out of town shows. But then in September, that's when I debuted as a wrestler on the main Calgary and Edmonton shows and continued wrestling. But I've done a couple of seminars for sure. I did one with a fellow named Ricky Reyes from.
I know Ricky very well. I'm sure that one. Good.
Yeah, that was a good I can't think of any like poor or bad ones that I did. I know we had one with Lanny Poffo. He came to the town, and there was going to be a seminar, and I think it was me and one other guy were like, yeah, we'll pay and go sit in on a seminar. But then I guess it was because there was only a couple of people interested. He, I guess, told the promoter, no, tell them all to come and I'll do it for free. So, you know, shout out to Lanny for doing that. That was amazing. And sat there and listened to him tell stories for a couple of hours, and it was awesome. Fine. Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
But see, when it's a free get together, and you're not, and there's no expectations, that's different. See, mm-hmm. And I know you're not arguing; you're just telling me stories. But that's different. But if you go and you pay $50, and this guy says, "Hey, I'm going to change your career. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that," and then let me tell you about the time I wrestled XYZ in some territory they've never heard of, and like. I was great. I was the champ. I was this, whatever. Or they scream at you because you don't do something the way they want you to do it. Like it's to me, man. Like that's where I started pivoting off of that.
Yeah.
Actually, I should be thanking those guys because all I did is see what those guys did to do the opposite. I just took the good stuff. I just emulated the good stuff from the good coaches and just saw what the bad coaches did and did the opposite and just put those two things together. And made me plenty of money. So I'm grateful to both of them, but it's just, yeah, no, Lanny's a great guy, so it's no problem. Lanny's one of the guys that I used to watch growing up, so, you know, I'm a bit older than you, so it's like I remember those days. You know? So.
Yeah, he had some great stories, and, you know, he's does a good impression, and he was funny, and, like, he talked a lot about Macho Man and stuff, and it was really cool. So, I liked that one, and then... I recently joined up at the Top Talent Wrestling Academy here in Edmonton, and
great
because the pandemic was going on during those months earlier in the year, where we weren't actually able to physically wrestle. We would all go to the academy and sit there, and we would do these like online seminars where our trainer Heavy Metal would have a guy set up on the computer, and we would all just ask him questions and stuff. So we did one with Ethan Page. We did one with Victor from The Ascension. We did one with Johnny Devine. There was one with Duke Durango. Lots of like just great guys. I'm surprised he didn't ask you to do it. I mean. Like, it seems like you're one of those most well-known guys for that.
I guess there's an opportunity there then, isn't it?
So yeah. We'll
have to revisit that after we talk here. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's basically where I am. And then, like I said, I kind of, and then I got kind of burned out from the road. I actually, quote unquote, went full pro in 2018, probably right about the time you were starting to train.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think one had to do with the other, but
no, probably not.
A strange coincidence, but I left my job and I went to do wrestling as a job. But here's what happened, Kyle. Once wrestling was classified to me as a job, I didn't want to do it anymore. Isn't that funny? So it got miserable for me. And what happened was I had too much free time and I didn't want to do wrestling anymore. And now wrestling was my job. So it left me with all kinds of free time. So what I would do is I'd scroll on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or I'd go to the casino and I'd gamble. So I actually already had it, but I revisited my compulsive gambling addiction and kind of came close to losing everything, including my family, my house, the whole thing. Not because I gambled that much, but I was going down that path.
Yeah.
And then finally just kind of, you know, broke down and, you know, started going to meetings and realized that I was powerless against this terrible disease. And so I went and I almost have 2 years clean now.
Oh,
I got a job with, I got the, thanks. Yeah, I got the courier job, which was a lifesaver because it gave me structure. And I'll never, even if I work 95 hours a week at wrestling, I'll never call it my full-time job again. I'll call it something else. I'll make up a name for it because I'll always call it my side hustle just because as soon as it became a job, I felt like I was now doing things for money instead of doing things because I wanted to help people. And I had a lot of trouble figuring all that out. So now it's better, you know, and I think 2016, 2017, I really made my mark in helping people and giving people a lot of value. I'm not saying I didn't give people value in the next few years, but I feel like I kind of lost my way a bit. So, I'm really happy to say that I think I'm back. And in fact, I know I'm back and I'm doing my Bob thing and I'm kind of helping people and, you know, just, you know, now that we have this online presence, it's been a little bit of a different thing because now I have to learn how to put a website together and, you know, develop these marketing skills. But it's been fun and I'm teaching the same marketing skills that I'm learning. So it's been a blast, man. Like the last two months have been kind of it's been a progression. I haven't worked 90 hours a week on it. I haven't worked like crazy, you know, I've just been doing a little bit a day. Kind of just working on it. Like I said, I posted something the other day. I said, just work 2.5 minutes out of every hour on your dream job. And that's an hour a day. So
yeah.
Just work an hour a day.
I think that's
kind of where I am. So
I think with wrestling, like a lot of people's like limitation is just like mindset stuff, right? Like I know, like I say, I started in 2018. I'm going to be 37 next month.
Well, you're a bright young man. I got 11 years on you, but you're a bright young man. So good. Continue with your wisdom, my friend.
I was just going to say that, like, I feel like the thing that was majorly holding me back from becoming a wrestler, like, much younger in my life was just this idea of a mindset that, oh, it's just way beyond me and nothing I could ever, like, accomplish, you know? And then one day it just clicked in me, like you say, like, you know, put 2 minutes an hour into what you got to do and eventually like it adds up and stuff and you achieve things. And I think that's like one of the main things with wrestling, like is mindset. Like if you don't believe you can do it, then you're probably right.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us are waiting around to get permission to do something too. I know I did, and I know a lot of people did, you know. It's when I wanted to start this membership thing like 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't figure out a way to do it. I think it's because I just wasn't happy with myself. I wasn't happy with the whole process. And then a friend of mine named Mike Kane, we were chatting on the phone and we chatted, you know, we talk a lot. He's a good dude. We talk a lot about business, mindfulness and all that. He's kind of like my amateur psychologist a lot of ways. So, I just noticed a couple of times I was just going on and on, ranting and raving, but just kind of going on and on. And he goes, well, if you would want to do like a course in wrestling, what would you do? And I said, oh, I do this. And over a couple of days, he listened.
Yeah.
And then he said, check your email. So
yeah,
I checked my email. He had put everything on a PowerPoint for me and said, there's your outline. What's your excuse now?
There you go.
Like, there it is. So that's what happened. So, yeah, he was the one that kind of made it. He's the one that kind of gave me the permission to do it. And then I started reading and I said, well, I think membership thing would be more along the lines of what I want to do. Because if I sell one course, then I just have to keep trying to sell it. And I don't want to be a one-trick pony. I want to offer a lot of stuff to people. I want to offer a lot of cool value and put a lot of stuff in it. And, you know, I just I don't know. I think it's going to be a living, breathing organism, so we have to keep it going.
100%, Bob. And like that's another one of the things like that I've come to learn just from being involved in wrestling and whatnot is that like if like you can't just go to wrestling school for like 3 months, graduate from wrestling school, and then you're a wrestler and you don't have to like go train anymore, like or like you're done learning after your 3 months of wrestling. Like that's ridiculous. You know,
right.
Like you got to continue, you got to like weekly stay at it, practice and like keep your mind sharp. And so like let's get like we've been kind of vague about it, so let's give the people a good idea about what the Wrestle Life is. It's a program where wrestlers can sign up and then they go to your website and undergo some online instructions and stuff, online classes.
Yeah, the best way I've been explaining it is, it's just again how to work on. You know, a lot of guys are working on trying to get signed. How do I get signed? How do I stand out? Mm-hmm. And my whole thing is, sign yourself to your own company first, build your own company up, and then get acquired by one of these bigger groups like WWE or AEW or Impact, Ring of Honor, New Japan, whoever. Right. So how do we do that? Well, I have something. I try to cater to as many people as I can. It's not, but I really, what I'm digging into is probably indie wrestlers with families, indie wrestlers with responsibilities, guys who want to do this as a good side hustle. I have a whole, so I basically, how I started it was I did the course that myself and my team worked on, and it's basically called the Hangs with Bob Blueprint, and it's 6 classes. About 4.5 hours in total. Excuse me. And then you run through that class, and it kind of gives you an overview of all the stuff you have to do to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to be full-time, part-time, weekend warrior, the whole thing. Again, I'm part-time, side hustle guy. That's how I do it. I have a good regular job. A lot of people I know have good regular jobs, and they do wrestling on the weekend. The problem is they're trading time with their family to go to wrestling, and their wife doesn't understand. I was joking with some of the guys the other day, and I said, sometimes I think I should call this how to wrestle and not get yelled at. You know, so, but it's true in a way because, and I'm not, by the way, wives, if you're listening to me, I want to apologize and let you know that I'm on your side. I'm trying to give you your husband's back or your wife's back, right?
Yeah.
So,
I hope there's a lot of wives listening to this show, you know, definitely.
I hope so
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I hope so too. Buy it to your husband for a Father's Day gift, you know, or a present. But mm-hmm. the issue is that when we go to wrestling, we're living our dream, but we're kind of leaving our wives and kids behind, or our girlfriends, or mom and dad, or responsibilities, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, if we're going to do that, we should at least come back with something of value. Because remember, we're living our dream. We're not living theirs. They might be supportive, but they just look at it as Sunday softball. So how do we make it not Sunday softball? Well, we come back with money. We come back with a better position where, hey, I'm going to make more money, or now I'm wrestling better shows, so more money will come. Or you kind of turn it into a little business where you're selling merch and things like that. And now you're coming home with a car payment or a house payment or even just money to do something nice to your wife on do something nice with your wife on Sunday. And that's, you know, like buy her dinner or, you know, take the kids out somewhere or, you know, just do something, have wrestling give something back to you instead
yeah.
of just beating you up. And I'm very sick, Kyle, of this, and it's still out there. And I don't know why that this business is full of backstabbers. You have to be a carny son of a bitch to, and you have to be broke and be on pills, or you have to win the belt at WrestleMania from Brock Lesnar. There's no in between. And I was like, but almost everybody else is in between. 99.9% of those people aren't like, you know, most of the guys I know are I'm going to say guys, just predominantly who I deal with, but
yeah.
they're pretty good dudes who just want to find a way to put some more money in their pocket and make this more financially viable. Because really that's the biggest thing is, you know, I love you, honey, but you're taking 2 days away on the weekend from the family and you're not doing anything. You're either spending the family's money or you're coming home with nothing and you're taking time away from us. And at least if you come home, at least you come home with money, and it's not all about money, but at least if you come home with money and something, you've come home with value. You come home with something that could buy groceries or pay, like I said, pay a car payment. So what I do is I teach you a lot of the stuff. Obviously, we deal with some in-ring stuff, obviously, if we're going to deal with more in-ring stuff when I can actually have access to a ring. But right now we're dealing with how to travel more effectively, how to save expenses without being a dirtbag, you know, like how to be in a nice hotel and you know, spend the same money on a garbage hotel and be in a much nicer hotel without lying, cheating, or stealing. How to fly cheaper. How to pair up with people to save expenses. Also, how to sell merchandise on the road. How to do different things that, you know, again, very ethical. And, you know, nothing that your mom's going to be mad at you about. I'm not saying rob people in the street, but find ways where you can make money on the road. And there's a bunch of different ways. And I have people making suggestions to me all the time. We have to figure out a way to make this much more effective for us. Instead of just sitting around and going, well, I'm only going to get a $20 payoff, so I guess I'm just a dirtbag wrestler who makes $20, and I'm going to resent the promoter, and I'm going to be mad, and hot dog and a handshake and all this stuff. Like, I just don't want to hear that anymore. And you said yourself, the biggest thing is mindset, because it is. Stop thinking you're a broke independent wrestler and start thinking you're someone who can provide people with an entertainment experience, and you're worldwide. You know why you're worldwide? Because the internet's worldwide. That's the great equalizer. So start using it to your advantage. Get bookings all over the country if you can. And if you can't, then travel in your own area and sell merch and be a great marketer. Let people know you're at shows. Build up the shows you're around. Be a badass wrestler and sell 200 bucks worth of merchandise and be 50 miles from your house. I'm okay with that. That's fine too. So, or take all these concepts, build yourself up into a big brand, and then have NXT walk up and give you $100,000 a year. I'm fine with that too. Whatever your goals are, I can certainly help you with that. So, and like I said, Kevin Kelly just jumped on. Kevin Kelly is the best promo coach nobody's ever heard of. He helped a ton of people learn how to talk.
In fact, oh, I've heard of Kevin Kelly.
I know you have. But yeah. Some people haven't still. And half of NXT and a lot of Ring of Honor and half of AEW, a lot of these people learned how to talk, and Kevin had a big part in that. So Kevin just jumped in classes. He's going to teach you how to talk. And then later on, he's going to teach you how to talk as an announcer. He's going to teach you how to talk better to promoters, how to sell yourself better. It's going to be more of a comprehensive plan. And then we have other stuff where it's called Backwham, Bottom Congo Watch a Match. And my buddy Wildman Congo, Mike Medina, from down here in Rhode Island, we sit and we do a Zoom call and we watch a match. You can't see the match because of copyright issues, but mm-hmm. You just play it like a DVD commentary, kind of like when Bruce and Conrad watch a match on something to wrestle with.
Yeah, like a watch-along
thing.
Watch
a match. Exactly. You do a watch-along and we break down the whole match for you. And then we, you know, you see Bret Hart versus Yokozuna in a cage, and we tell you how... You know, look how Yokozuna sells without bumping. Look how creative they get. Look how they're both selling now. Look at Mr. Fuji's part in this match. Look at Jerry Lawler. Look at the referee's part in this match. We break it all down for you. And it's kind of like Brett and Yoko sat down and said, Bob, I know you're not us, but do your best to translate what we're doing in the ring for these guys so they can use these same concepts. And I'm not saying I'm as good as them. I'm just saying I'm good at translating what they're doing in the ring and how you can use it in your matches. Because a lot of times we tell people to watch matches, but we don't tell them what to watch for. So Congo and I are there kind of to hold your hand and say, look at this. Watch what they're doing here. Isn't this interesting? And we don't just do old-time matches. We did Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels, and it was almost a perfect freeway match.
Oh, yeah, that one's a banger.
Exactly. So watch that match, and we help you try to translate that language. So when you do a three-way match, I'm not telling you have to be as good as Samoa Joe, but your mindset can be as good as Samoa Joe. You can think as well as him. You may not be as skilled, but you can certainly try to put yourself in his shoes and say, kind of like, what would Samoa Joe do? You know, WWSJD, you know, like kind of like that. So that's kind of where we are. And then I have another class where it's called Book a Loop, and it's a 2,200-mile trip, three shows. You're home in 4 days, and you watch it with your phone up and down, and I just say, press play, and it looks like I'm running your phone for you. And it just says, this is exactly how I do it on my phone. It's a 22-minute class. And we just break it all down. And I go, yeah, this is how we rent a car. This is how we rent a hotel. And I'm giving you tips along the way. Like, go for this hotel. And I'll show you like three hotels. And I'll go, these three are pretty cool. Stay away from these other ones. This is what to look for. Make sure. And it's kind of like, I'm just saving you a lot of time.
So this is
a lot of time and effort.
This is going to be beneficial to like anyone in the wrestling business, not just the wrestlers, but like there's going to be stuff for announcers, stuff for referees, stuff for commentators, stuff for promoters.
Absolutely. And I didn't even mention the promoter stuff. I was speaking about Oz, Eric Ouimet, who is one of the best, most successful promoters in Montreal, who was a bitter guy who was ready to quit 4 years ago. And then the second show he ever ran drew 600 people, and they turned 200 people away. And he's announcing, and he's announcing, Bob, you know, that he's yelling a bunch of French, and all of a sudden he looks at me with tears in his eyes. And I asked the lady next to me, actually, it wasn't the lady next to me, it was Fisto, Jen Goulet, you probably know Fisto. And I said, what's he talking about? She goes, oh, see, he said you're pretty much the reason he did this, because you turned his mind around and made him believe that he could do this. So then, and obviously he did all the work. I'm not taking any credit for that. But I talked to Eric for 90 minutes about his journey and what he did, how he had to turn his mindset around and figure out how to, like, go from a guy who was bitter and everybody's a jerk and everybody's an ass and all this. And then now he's one of the most successful promoters in North America. How did that happen? How did we get there? And then we're going to do a part two where I'm going to ask every promoter I know to submit a question, and Eric's going to answer them word for word, blueprint, exactly what you have to do to become a better promoter. What he did to draw 600 people. What he did to have badass, like, all kinds of stuff. He just bought another company. That's where he is. And we can't even get one company going, right? And he does. And then I remembered that I started listening to all these successful promoters. The last 10 shows I promoted, I've made money on. So I'm obviously listening to the right people and moving myself in the right direction. But I want to share that with you. Who cares how successful I am? I can make a dollar or a million. It has nothing to do with you guys. I want to help you guys. My goal is to make 1,000 wrestling people, 1,000 independent wrestling people, double their income. That's all I care about. Double it up. And I know some people are making nothing. Well, let's make a dollar then. Let's get to a dollar, and then let's make $2, $4, $8, $16. Let's grow it. That's where I am, man. Like, all I want to do is help people. That's it. That's all I want to do. And I'm gonna do it in as many directions as I can. And obviously you've seen a lot of the free help that I offer people too. If you don't want to do the site, I understand that, but I just can't go deep enough with the free stuff. And we go real deep, and we're not gonna hold anything back. One of the things that I was very resentful of a lot of the guys who knew stuff was they were afraid to share it with other people because they were afraid that it was all gonna be taken away from them, which is a joke. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. So, or ignorant.
Yeah, so they obviously got it from somewhere.
Right. And so what I do is I say, okay, if you won't teach it, I'll go find somebody else that will. So I go get people to teach it. I have people in other areas, other promotions areas, other stuff. And we're going to open this up, and we're going to make it awesome. And we're going to have a bunch of promoters doing a lot better. Promoters that work with me do 2-3 times the crowd they did before and 4-5 times the money. So... The guy I talked to before, Jack Parker, you probably saw my video. It's on the Wrestle Life right now. Jack did $812 in one day with less than 50 people paid.
Oh,
he didn't sell Bullet Club shirts. He didn't sell Bullet Club shirts. He sold all his stuff.
I believe I heard about you talking about this fella. He made like, yeah, there was like 40 people there.
Yep, and he did 500. Let's see. I got the breakdown. Did $522 in his own merch that day. His wife took a $210 screen printing order, because they do screen printing, and then he did $80 worth of pre-orders for a shirt that didn't even exist.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Other level,
like, really good. Way to go for it.
And
like,
then the last 2 weekends have not been as good. He did 317 last weekend, and this weekend he did 210. 210 is the worst number he's done in 6 months, Scott, on one show.
Yeah,
he used to make $100 on a weekend in merchandise, and now his worst day is 210.
That's
I'm saying, if you listen to me, look, I'm not for everybody. I understand that. But if you don't like me, or my voice bothers you, or you think I'm too this or too that, that's fine. You know what? Write it all down and look at it if you don't want to listen to my stupid voice, my stupid annoying accent. But I'm just saying, take it all to heart and follow the blueprint, follow the instructions. If you follow the instructions, you're going to do better, I promise. Look, this was the same stuff that people said to me. Bob, you're trying to do this all yourself. Invest in yourself. Go to these different things. Learn. You know, look, a lot of the wrestling trips I made the first couple of years, I didn't make any money. Or I made a little bit of money, enough money to get by.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it was the learning thing where I would pick up stuff. I'd go to shows where they drew 1,000 people and I'd say, how did you draw 1,000 people? And he goes, hey, how come you're the only guy? And the guy was kind of arrogant about it. I won't say his name for that reason, but he said, hey, how come you and I just met and I've been running for 10 years and you're the first guy that's asked me that question? I go, I don't know. He goes, yeah, I don't know either. So guess what? I'm going to tell you. Let's sit down. And he told me everything he did is to draw 1,000 people.
Huh.
So that's where we are. You know, so that's what the wrestle life is all about. And I call it the wrestle life because once you become a wrestler, it's in your blood.
Yeah.
And it's not wrestling. It's not life. It's the wrestle life. We have our own little thing that we live. But I am all for making wrestling work for you instead of wrestling taking from you and sucking you dry and leaving you, you know, a mess on the floor. We don't need to be that way. That's all crap. It was crap when I was coming in 30 years ago, Kyle, and it's crap now. It doesn't exist. It's a myth.
And I like, this is the thing, is like, you're sitting there going, oh, if people don't like me, I've liked you just fine, man. Like, I'm listening to this and I'm going, this is all really positive stuff. Like you say, there are those guys that are like, if you're not in this to be the WWE champion, then why are you here? And it's, you know, like, sometimes, like, after every show, I usually, like, I'll walk up to the other guys to say goodbye and just ask if...
Hey, Kyle.
Yeah, sorry.
Let me jump in there for a second, because that's a very good point you made. Those guys haven't won the WWE belt either, though, so why are they here, too? Shouldn't they have left? You notice all the idiots that say there's too many people in wrestling? They never volunteer to leave. They'd be one left if they left.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I always walk up to everybody after the show and say goodbye.
Right.
But usually I say, oh, did you have fun tonight? Like, did you have a good time? Right. And,
yeah.
You know, everybody's like cool. But like, there's always like that one guy that's like, well, it's not really about having fun. And I'm like,
okay,
I think you might be doing it wrong. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. So that what that guy's trying to tell you is that he's all business.
Yeah.
Well, how come that guy makes the same $22 that you make?
I mean, even if he makes...
If he's all business, how come he's not making 500?
Yeah, he's still, you know, it's still like the minor independent Canadian wrestling leagues that, you know, we're sharing a locker room in here. Like, sometimes, like... And I mean, I'm not trying to vent out my frustrations on this, like, person or whatever, you know,
Well, we don't have to name names.
Yeah, no, and my point is I'm not trying to name any names, but I'm just, like, it baffles me when people are, like, they act like they're, like, above you or something, and it's like, we're all on the same show, man. And, like, I get that some people have more experience and they have more skills, but, like, you don't need to be an ass to other people. Like, it's not going to get you much further along in this.
Well, the thing is that in my experience, the million dollar guys, the guys that I've dealt with that are $1 million worth of talent at least, or are on the road to be making $1 million, those guys are the ones that pay me the most respect and are the coolest guys, the nicest guys. When I was in the locker room, the nicest guys in the locker room, when I was in WWF as an extra, as a job boy,
mm-hmm.
Austin, Rock, The Undertaker, Kane, all the top guys, Triple H, they were all super nice to me. They were all great. I mean, I used to live in Triple H's hometown, so we joked around about that, and I knew Kowalski, so I, you know, had a little something to talk about. But China was always super nice to me because anybody who was part of the Kowalski coaching tree was gold to her. So you might have heard some crazy stuff about her, but she was always super nice to me.
But, you like, know, that's the thing. Like,
10 times more attractive in real life, too, by the way.
China? I believe it.
No, she was. Yeah.
I
had me a little crush on China.
That's awesome that, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H and The Undertaker and all those guys were, like, cool to you. Like,
But why? Because they were all there. They all did jobs. They were all, like, low ball guys. Like, and that's the thing. Like, why? But they moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And Cena, by the way, too. Cena remembered wrestling at a show, the one independent show we did in Massachusetts, I was on, And he remembered it 10 years later when I was working as an extra, having him throw Edge into the crowd and knocking us all over. Like, I said, yeah, man, we wrestled on an independent show together. He's like, oh, yeah, Sheldon Goldberg in Somerville, Mass. I was like, dude, that was like 10 years ago. He's like, yeah, that was great. It was fun, man. You okay? How's everybody? That's it. Like, but he was a good dude. Like, why be mean to people when you're, you know, but I can, I mean, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, all these guys, all these guys that make money, Kenny Omega, I met like 3 or 4 times in Ring of Honor. Then, you know, when he saw me and he was Kenny Omega in big letters, the New Japan main event guy. Hey, Bob, how are you, man? Oh, my God. He was, when I met Samoa Joe after 10 years, after Samoa Joe probably shook my hand 3 times, he gave me a big hug and congratulated me on my success. That's the kind of people that we're dealing with. So the main event guys, all these people, Adam Cole, like Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, all these guys, you know, Tommaso Ciampa, all these guys that, you know, like that I've seen just grow and become main event guys, they don't forget where they come from. It's all these bitter indie guys that for some reason they didn't do any of the work that it took to make it, and they want everything handed to them. And they're mad that, oh, you're not paying me the respect. Well, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm paying you respect like a man or a woman, like an adult. I'm not going to, what do you want me to do, bow down to you? I don't bow down to anyone. I'm a Christian. I bow down to God. I don't bow down to you. Like, what do you mean bow down? I'm paying you fine respect, but it doesn't matter. These people, it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
You can never pay them enough. You can never satisfy them. You know, if you don't shake their hand within 4 seconds, you're a jerk and an ass, and you're no good. And, you know, but they built all that on a myth. Or they had abusive trainers when they started that were educated on the myth. That stuff isn't real. All this stuff about, look, just because the WWF beat up their guy, not even WWF, I don't want to pick on that, but just because the territories beat up the guys sometimes doesn't mean we have to. It's a different business.
And yeah.
You can be for it or against it, it's fine, but you have to acknowledge it's there. I loved the 80s. I loved the 90s. I loved all that wrestling. I did. I loved it very much. But we don't live there now. We live here in 2021. So let's deal with what's in front of us. And I want to solve problems today. I don't want to yell and scream about how it was in the past. Now, I will show you something from the past to help you understand, and I'll try to provide context for you because you're younger than me, and actually many of the people I deal with are much younger than you even. So I'll help provide context so they don't. I go, look at Hogan and Ultimate Warrior, but don't look at, Ultimate Warrior, he's running around and he's running around like a dummy and Hogan brother. No, don't look at any of that stuff. Look at the way Hogan carried Warrior the whole time in a 25-minute match, and look how he's talking to him. Look how he's getting him through it. Look how blown up Warrior is, and Hogan's not blown up at all. Like, just look at the greatness that Hogan was and look at the pretend. Like, we're not trying to poke holes in Warrior, but we're just showing Hogan was like Hogan was the Ric Flair in that scenario. He was the guy that got people through matches.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy. Like, he got more respect for it later when he was with the NWO, but that's kind of like the beginning of it. Like, Hogan could work, man. And Hogan was a lifelong fan. And you could tell he was a lifelong fan.
100.
Which is why one of the reasons he was so over. Like, Warrior was never a fan. That's why he didn't connect as much, because every time Hogan went out there, you know what? He asked the same question you did. Hey, man, isn't this fun? Didn't we have fun today? Isn't it fun, Kyle, just talking about wrestling? I was super tired when I got on the phone with you, and now I could jump over a wall. Like, because talking about this is so much fun, and I love the business, and I love helping people. Now, I got 10 minutes with you left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this, and I'm going to do this with you. So what are you struggling with right now? My man, Kyle, what are you struggling with? What can I help you with today? Let's do a little 10-minute coaching call.
I
took you aback. I put you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like,
let me help you. What can I do?
I think that one of my biggest things is confidence issues, because, like, I've always felt like, you know, I feel like I'm entertaining, but I feel like all the other wrestlers are way better than me, you know? So there sometimes is a lot of like doubt and hesitation in what I do. So I think that's an issue for me.
Well, is it because you started as a ring announcer and now you've transitioned to wrestling?
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, for sure. Is like where I've come from and what I've done. And don't get me wrong, like I've put in a lot of hard work and a lot of people are recognizing it and stuff and being very kind to me and stuff. But like there's still a lot of times where I just feel like, you know, are these people like, do they really like having me around or I don't know. You know, it's one of those weird things, but like it's just I think confidence is one of my main issues.
Well, I think you're on the right path. There was a my ring announcer at my very first show in 1993 was a guy named John Vitale, Johnny Bates. And he was a wrestler. He was an announcer first. Excuse me. Then he was a manager. And then he became a wrestler. And then he became a wrestling coach. Then he became a coach at one of the best schools in New England, the New England Pro Wrestling Academy, one that Dijak came out of, Sasha Banks, and Big Brian Malonis from Ring of Honor. And, you know, the guy they call Dijak, Big Dijak, and, you know,
T-Bar?
Josh Briggs. And, what's that?
Is that the T-Bar? Dijak?
Yeah, the old T-Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack, yeah, good old T-Bar. And he ended up having a 20-year wrestling career, wrestled into his 50s. So what I'm saying is you should feel good about what you're doing and just keep learning. And if there's some people that maybe haven't quite caught on to you and they're still like, oh, he's just a ring announcer, just keep at it, keep learning, keep asking the right questions, keep supporting the business, and they'll come around. You know, I remember Anthony Green, August Gray in NXT now, when he was annoying little 16-year-old ref and would ask me a million questions, but he was the biggest wrestling fan. I don't know of a bigger wrestling fan than August Gray. He's the biggest wrestling fan I know. Super knowledgeable, knew all my indie stuff even before he was in the business, and just crazy, crazy knowledgeable, and he's a good friend, and I love the kid. And now he's living his dream, but it took him a couple years to get everybody's respect because they were like, who's this punk kid that's just, you know, and he was always in a good mood and very talkative. He wasn't arrogant, but he was talkative. So some people kind of mistook that as arrogance or whatnot. So, and then he just kind of kept doing the right things and kept, you know, going along the same path and experimenting and trying new things. And now he's in NXT doing his thing. So everybody has different journeys, man. Just keep plugging away, keep wrestling. Once things open up, get traveling a little bit, go visit different parts of the country. If you can kind of sneak down to the States, this is an unofficial piece of advice, but if you can kind of sneak down to the States as a tourist and you accidentally leave your gear in your bag by accident underneath all your vacation clothes, and then you just go to a show to watch and all of a sudden you find out you're on the poster and you have to wrestle on it because you don't want to disappoint any of these great United States fans. If that happens by accident someday, then that's great, you know, but go do your thing, man. Go travel, go do stuff. Be a part of this business, you know, as much as you're comfortable being. Don't let anybody hold you back. And if somebody says, oh, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I've heard this well into my 40s. Oh, you're a mark. What are you doing? You're traveling. Well, what are you doing? Oh man, you just want to be you want to travel. You're not making any money. It's like, well, I am making money actually, because I've been really smart about doing it. And also, even if I don't make any money, why do you care? Are you going to give me some money? Are you going to tell, is it going to be in the newspaper that Bob didn't make any money at wrestling this week? Don't worry, man. I have a regular job. My family's taken care of. I don't starve my family. They have health insurance. I do too. I have a retirement account. I'm not being irresponsible. I'm working within my responsibilities and making wrestling more efficient for me. So don't judge me. These people think I've never said this. I've never said throw away your life. I've never said divorce your wife, divorce your husband, don't speak to your kids. No, I want you to do wrestling alongside with those things. Mm-hmm. I just want wrestling to be more effective for you. More effective and more efficient.
Can I just ask you one question? Have you ever had a situation where, like, you were wrestling with somebody who, you know, and I'm not talking necessarily about myself, especially like at this point, but has you ever been in the ring with somebody where you were just like, afterwards you had to be like, hey man, you should not wrestle, like you're terrible?
No.
Yeah.
No, I've been in the ring with some very poorly skilled people, and they didn't hurt me. I can protect myself. No, it's a funny story. They're just terrible. You have a bad match. So what?
That's
like you've been there before.
Yeah.
I have 70 more matches that are better than that year. If you're crying and screaming about somebody who was that bad, then you didn't do a good job to try to get him through the match. And look, I've been to some places where everybody's terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they don't know it, and they're happy, and they're not hurting each other. They're just having bad matches. And that's okay. I can live with that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to go there for one day. I'm going to win or lose to their guys, and I'm going to get in and get out. Sell a little merchandise, make a little money, do my best to run a seminar, but a lot of those places, the seminars aren't too successful because everybody either thinks they're really good or they're just kind of a little scared to try or whatnot, and that's fine. I'm not mean. I'm not intimidating. But and then there's places where I've gone and the guys were – in fact, I'll name him because he said it was okay, but Billy Simmons in Kansas 4 or 5 years ago brought me in, and his guys were very limited. And Billy said, Bob, I'll take full responsibility. We were doing a 2-day camp, and in about an hour, I could tell that his guys were very, very limited. I said, ooh, you guys are really struggling fundamentally. He's like, I'm going to take responsibility for that. I did the best I could, but I obviously I've only been trained so far, and can you help us? I said, absolutely. So you know what we did for 2 days? It was like almost like a tryout all over again. Okay, let's do our rolls. Let's practice our bumps. Let's do some promos. Let's teach you how to tie up, do some basic holds, teach everybody how to cover each other for the pin properly, kick out properly, all the early stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was fun because it was like running a wrestling school again. But I could have just said, you guys don't know how to F and work. You guys are garbage. You guys should quit. You're backyarders. But you know what I did? I decided to try to make this as good as I could for 2 days, and hopefully it spread. And now Billy Simmons runs most of Kansas wrestling now. And his guys are friggin' way awesomer now. They're very good. His guys have gotten a million times better because Billy was empowered to improve himself. And he got, like we talked about earlier, he got permission to get better. Instead of me knocking him down and kicking him while he was down, he took responsibility. And I was like, well, hey, man, if you're owning it, let's own it together. Now I'm going to take responsibility and take you under my wing. And we've built a very powerful guy. Billy's one of the guys that jumped in, took my advice, and now he's drawn, well, I mean, pre-pandemic, but he's tripled his numbers. He's done great.
Yeah.
You know, and his guys have gotten better because his guys travel. They go places. They do things. They experience wrestling. And they all have jobs, lives. Billy's married, has a good job. He's a dispatcher at a trucking company. And he's happy. He's healthy, you know. And, well, he got COVID, but now. But, I mean, he's recovering from that. And he's, you know, responsible to his wife and his family. But he travels. He's not afraid to jump in the car and go. And but he does it within his job. Like, he doesn't quit everything and just do wrestling. It'd be irresponsible. So, to get back to the whole confidence thing, man, just find good mentors that are going to support you. And because I felt like I didn't answer your question all the way through. But just keep doing what's good for the business and what's good for you. And just keep serving others. Like, and even if you have to kind of work under a hood one day and then grab a mic and be a ring announcer for the day because they don't have one, just remember that you always have that skill too. You can do two things. You can always announce from the back too. I mean, I'm sure there's been shows like that. We've all had shows like that, you know.
That's a good idea, actually. But I've never actually ring announced and wrestled on the same show. Oh no, I did do that once. But anyway, that's beside the point. I just wanted to thank you again for coming on here, Bob. I really liked what you had to say there, especially like I say, there's been a couple of guys recently, and I was in their shoes at one point where like my training was not up to snuff at that time, and I was put in the ring, and you know, it's happened to me a couple of times where lately I've been in the ring with people who's training is maybe like they're not as trained as they should be, and like I've always been one of those people where I am in no place to tell anyone they shouldn't be in wrestling. If I go out there and we've had a bad match, then I'll just say, hey bud, you keep training, train harder, and you'll get better, and we'll have fun, you know?
Well, and chances are, would you be in, I mean, it hasn't really even been 2 years, because I'm sure you got, well, you said you've been open, you guys were pretty open during the pandemic, so maybe, but I mean,
yeah,
a lot of people, last year was kind of a wash, but so really you've had like a year and a half, so probably the bad matches are your fault too, which is perfectly normal.
100%, yeah.
So just learn from it and don't take it too seriously. I'm not saying be aloof. And if somebody's trying to give you advice, take it in.
Yeah.
Look, there's nothing wrong with listening to somebody who's trying to help you. And even if it's not the best advice for you, you go, all right, man. Yeah, cool. If you gave me a lot to think about today. Thank you. Like, it doesn't mean you're going to put everything into play, but hey, maybe this guy over here has something to say. This guy over here has something to say. And maybe that even, those two things aren't fantastic, but maybe both of them put together takes you in another direction to a third thing that kind of solves the problem for you. So just be gracious and take the advice and don't ignore people and don't think you had a great match because you liked it, because maybe it wasn't the right match to have. A lot of people, a lot of guys get picked on because they go out to have, you know, the second match on the show and they're trying to have a main event. And you gotta look at your main event, see where your main event is, what kind of wrestling they are, and try to support them. You're a false finish for the main event every time you're out there. So you're something that gets the people ready for the main event. So if the finish is, you know, in the main event is a DDT, you probably shouldn't do a DDT and then have somebody kick out of it. And that's not me saying, oh, you don't know how to work. And I'm not saying that. I'm saying for your own, to protect, we're a team here. When we're on a show, I view it as a team. We're a team.
Well, so I know.
I want to help my teammate, and I want to support the champion, whatever the championship matches or the main event guys, because I would want them to support me. Now, on the other hand, if the finish is if they're going to do a false finish on a DDT, then maybe one of the guys wins with a DDT earlier in the show, where it's like, well, a DDT put away a lesser opponent earlier on the card. But now that the main event and the number one contender are there, it's going to take a little more than a DDT to put them away. So, but once you start elevating your thinking like that, you'll be fine anyway, because now you're asking the right questions. Now you have the right mindset. Again, it all goes back to mindset, man. You said it yourself. So that's where we are. And to really just always have an idea, and quickly, just always in a match, always have an idea. What are we doing today? What's the meaning of the match? What's the money of the match? If you ever do an improv scene, it's what's the herald, right? So what? Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing. Like, what's the main topic? You know, like what's going on in the book? Like what's the theme in the book? Like that kind of a thing. You know, like where are we trying to get to in the story? Well, the story of the match, you have to have that be consistent. If it's two wrestlers going out there, then we shouldn't be hitting each other over the head with baseball bats. But if it's two baseball bat guys, I really don't want to see a bunch of wrist lock. So yeah. We have to kind of do that. And plus, maybe you put the hardcore stuff away because it's a family show with a bunch of five-year-olds watching. And now we're not going to do that stuff tonight. We're going to do just clotheslines, spine busters, body slams, and get in and get out in 10 minutes and just have a kind of a much more PG match. You have to kind of read the room and see what the show is. So, but again, it's just a little bit of thinking, a little bit of effort. And really, the confidence thing, man, is just if you're not there physically, you can be there mentally a lot faster, at least 75% of the way. The last 25% is where the real money is as far as, like, being a real main event top guy. But you'll get there 75% by knowing the basics. Like, hey, man, like, if I'm a heel, I'm going to be a heel. I'm not going to be out there shaking everybody's hand and doing moves that people cheer for. I'm going to be a heel. I'm going to be a dirty, vicious heel that gets his ass whipped, and maybe I win, but I barely win. And then if I lose, I lose. Just lose. You don't have to slip over me. You just hit me with your finish and lose. So that's really like your job. If you're a babyface, you're going to sell like crazy, connect with the fans, make the heel look like $1 million. And then if you win, you win. And if you lose, you lose. That's fine. But that's people call that basic psychology, but it's really not basic psychology, because I've seen so many times where there's been lost opportunities on a show because people aren't taking advantage of these basic tenets of wrestling. So remember, the basic tenets still work.
100%. And I think that's like all great stuff. And I thank you so much for coming on the show today, Bob. And helping me out with all that stuff and helping everyone out. Because, like, if you've listened to this podcast and you haven't learned anything, you should probably have your brain checked. So I do. I want to thank you for coming on once again, Bob. Let's give one more little plug for your website there and plug your social media and stuff so that people can get a hold of you should they need to.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, the wrestlelife.com is the best place. If you have any questions, there's a contact page up top. And right now, if you're going to – when does this air?
This will be airing the Monday – not the 1st of February, but the following Monday.
All right. Well, since we're taping this before, I'm still going to offer this to your people. So they can contact me ahead of time, and I'll hook them up. But we're offering till the I'll just tell you this because you're the only one that's going to hear this. But so we have a special going on till the end of January 31st at midnight, where it's $25 a month for life as long as you don't cancel. And at February 1st, we do our actual opening of the site, the real grand opening, and it's going to be $49 a month. That's American. So, but if you contact me ahead of time before you sign up, through Kyle or through me or whatnot, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Like I said, there's a contact page on there, or you can get in touch with me through Kyle or me on Facebook and just let me know, hey, Bob, I heard your thing and you said it's still offering it. Yeah, I will still offer it for you for $25 US past the date because we've done all this talking about it and I don't want to shortchange people. So, and again, my goal is to make this site eventually $99 a month, $199 a month, whatever it's going to be. But you'll always be grandfathered in at $25 US a month if you jump in now. So,
solid. Well,
this isn't going to be something where February 2nd I'm going to offer it again. We're not. We might offer some different specials, but it's never going to be this low again. So jump in now. And again, you hear this after, don't get worried. We will still honor that. Just contact me first so I can hook you up. I'm going to have to move some stuff around. So.
Well, I'm getting. I get paid on the 1st of February, so I will be chatting with you to get hooked up with that $25 American.
Absolutely. $25 a month US for my man Kyle. It's done. It's right here. It's on audio record. I can't run from it now. So.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems like it would definitely be worth checking out for sure. You've got a lot of great information and like you've been bigger places than I have, so how could I not learn from you? And especially like Kevin Kelly, like learning the announcing and commentary stuff is very interesting to me as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of, you know, like a lot of cool people are going to be on there. Me and Kevin are pretty much the course creators, but we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff in there. My man Wildman Congo actually put a little class out about how to buy gear and measure yourself for gear. And pick out gear and find out what's best for you. It's like a 12-minute mini class all about gear. I've never even heard of a gear class before that. So we're going to put that out soon too. So I'm telling you, man, like this, if it's not all in one, it's going to be as close to all in one as you're going to get. And I can tell you that all the people involved in this all have their hearts in the right place. We're not going to sell you Amway. This isn't going to be some scam or anything. This is all legit. And I know it's wrestling, so you probably hear some funny business, but it's legit, man. You guys will really dig this. And Kyle, you've known me long enough where you know I come from a good place, and we're just going to keep kicking ass and keep doing our thing. And hopefully you and I will meet up in Calgary or Alberta anyway. And
I would love to do one of your seminars, bro, for sure. You know,
we'll do something and make it work and –
thing of like 6 degrees of separation. I actually saw that you have worked for the Canadian Wrestling Elite, and I've actually announced shows for them. So we've both worked for that same promotion.
Oh yeah,
I've wrestled Sean Martins a few times, and I looked back in your history. It said you wrestled him, so we've both
Sean
wrestled.
Is a member of our site. Sean's a member of our site, so yeah, he's jumped. Sean was one of my first members that jumped in a couple months ago, so he's super excited about it. So if many of my Canadian people that know Sean, you want to hit him up and ask him some questions too, that's fine. But yeah, Sean's kind of become a little leader in the membership community. We have a message board there where we're going to hold each other accountable too for goals and action steps. So,
nice.
Yeah, man, it's a cool little thing. So it's not a little thing. It's going to be a big thing, but I'm fired up. So like I said, we got to get to 1,000 members, double up people's money, make people feel good. and have more fulfilling relationships with wrestling, each other, and their families, and it's going to be great.
Awesome possum, Bob. Well, I will hit you up on the first to give you my first payment there, and hopefully I can start perusing your website at that time. Hopefully, you're, like you say, you'll be out here in Calgary. I'm sure there's a lot of good guys that could learn from you. We've got, of course, Heavy Metals Top Talent Wrestling Academy up here in Edmonton. The MPW wrestlers have an academy too. So you, I mean,
when it makes sense, we will make it make sense.
Awesome, so, possum. Thank you so much, and sorry for taking up so much of your time. Wait.
Not at all, my friend. I really enjoyed it, and I hope I can help you. And again, anybody has any questions, go on thewrestlelife.com. There's a contact us. You can hit me up, ask me a question, and I'll be happy to answer you.
Awesome, possum. Folks, this is the Canadian Goose, Kyle Shaw, signing out for this week's episode of Monday Night Shaw, and look forward to more in the future. Thank you very much to Brutal Bob Evans for being a part of it.